together. Here we go.
Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours.
Welcome to Crossway today. Please join us as we worship God and hear His word.
Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours.
Take
my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever.
We all say glory.
Glory to God, glory to God,
yeah, yeah.
Glory to God forever.
Glory,
glory to God,
yeah, yeah.
Glory,
glory
to God.
God,
glory to God.
Joyful hearts, and God, we want to give you all the praise. Take pride of place in our hearts, Lord God. Oh, we love you, Lord, and we give you this time. We commit it to you in your name.
You're the God of this city, you're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in the darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like God. There is no one like God. To be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things still to be done in this city.
We want more of you, Jesus. Oh, we want to see you move in our cities.
floods with fire. The whole earth shakes. The whole earth shakes. I see His love and mercy.
They're going to begin serving us, and I just invite you to hold the elements until the end, and we're going to eat and drink together. It was wonderful last weekend to remember and to celebrate Easter together, wasn't it? And this weekend, as we share this meal together, we're doing the same kind of thing. We're remembering what Jesus has done for us, remembering the sacrifice that He has made, and we're remembering too the victory of His resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 24, we read the account that Paul gives us of Jesus sharing this meal with His disciples. And Paul says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself, that on the night when He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then He broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me.' In the same way, He took the cup of wine after supper and saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and His people. an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. Now, we've just sung these amazing words. I see his love and mercy washing over all our sins. And in a moment, as we eat and drink together, we remember that Jesus' body was broken for us, that on his body he bore the penalty that we ourselves should have paid. He bore our sin, our wrongdoing, our disobedience, our rebellion against the God who created us and who loves us. And Jesus did this because of his love for us. He was compelled, he was motivated, he was driven by love for us. And we see the most amazing love in action as Jesus laid down his life for us. And in his shed blood, we're reminded, we're told, it's illustrated that our sins aren't just covered over temporarily, but they're actually washed away so that we're free to be in a relationship with the God who loves us and who created us. Likewise, we've just sung about seeing Jesus, the King of glory, coming on the clouds with fire. In verse 26, Paul reminds us that whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so this meal reminds us as well that we serve and we love and we worship not just a man who died a horrible death, but that this same man, Jesus, was and is God, and that he rose from the dead, and that he will return not as a fragile human baby, but as a triumphant king to reign for all eternity. And we're reminded too that he's actually coming back for us, to be with us, that we get to be with him for all eternity. So let's just pause for a moment and let's pray before we eat and drink together. Lord Jesus, we are profoundly thankful that you bore our sins on your body. We thank you, Lord, that you paid the price that should have been ours to pay. Lord, we thank you that because of what you have done for us, we are now free to be in a relationship with the God who created us. Lord, that we can know a destiny and a hope for all eternity in you because of what you have done. And so as we take this bread now, we do so, we eat it with thanks that you bore our sins and that your body was broken for us. Let's eat together. And Lord, we drink too of this cup, thankful that you have washed our sins away, that we're forgiven, and Lord, that we can come into your presence because we're clean because of what you have done for us. Let's drink together as well. For me too, one of the amazing elements of what we do together as we celebrate communion is recognizing again that when we put our trust in Jesus, our whole life is reorientated. Our whole direction and our whole focus is shifted away from ourselves, away from just the earthly stuff of life, and back onto an awesome, wonderful, loving God who has our life in his hands, and who wants to bless us and direct us. In just a moment, we're actually going to celebrate that. We're actually going to confirm that with what we sing. As we sing, "Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Help me love like you have loved me." And as we do that, I want to encourage you to really focus your attention on Jesus, on what he has done for you. And we're going to sing, we're going to worship together. And as we do that, we're also going to practically demonstrate that reorientation, that refocus, that gratefulness to God for what he's done for us by taking up our tithes and offerings. So as we stand, as Kale and the band lead us, so there are containers at the end of each aisle. The empty one is for your tithes and offerings. There's also one with a plastic bag for your cups. So let's stand together and let's declare our devotion and our love and our thanks to God.
the King of glory.
Humble our lives before you today because we know that you are the holy and righteous and true one. And the only appropriate response to you is worship. To know you is to worship you. Oh, our Father in heaven, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would do a great work amongst us today. I thank you, Father, that you know us intimately. There is no detail that's hidden from you. Every secret corner of our lives, every fear, every concern, every aspiration, everything that we are is laid bare before you. And thank you, Father, when you gaze upon our lives, you love us. Thank you that you have clothed us with the righteousness of Christ because he died on the cross for our sins. Our Father in heaven, we pray that today would be a day of lovely ministry where you set people free, where you draw people to yourself, where you are pleased to dispense your gifts amongst your children. Father, do a great work amongst us today. That's our prayer. It's our desire that your name would be glorified. Father, we set our hearts on you for the glory of your name. And God's people said, amen. How about you bless those around you before you take your seat?
Thank you, church. Thank you. Good morning. You may take your seats. And thank you so much for the warm welcome. And it's a joy for me to be here. And thank you, Pastor Dale and the leaders, for allowing me to share this morning with you. Aren't they doing a great job here? Well, three of you think that's awesome, isn't it? I mean, I think Pastor Dale, Eddie, the team here doing an amazing job. Let's encourage them. And, you know, thank you. And it's okay to encourage them once in a while, you know, and also for all the hundreds of people who serve. As I drove in, the you know, people in the car park and all along, you know, so many volunteers serving and worship, and it's just amazing. You guys are a great church.
Amen.
Let me just try that again. It's okay to talk while I'm preaching because I'm Indian. I'm used to lots of noise, okay? Just don't do that when Pastor Dale is speaking. This is a great church. And you guys are having great impact here and to the ends of the earth. And I'm here to say a big thank you. And our people are praying for you guys because Pastor Dale and Pastor Stuart Robinson have been coming, you know, for many times teaching and equipping our leaders. And so they know about you guys and they're praying for you and for Melbourne, Australia, that God will move and use you to bring transformation in this city and in this nation as he's doing over there. And you guys are going through a series called Follow. So this morning I want to kind of focus on the danger of losing Jesus while we think we are following him. And the story come from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 50. We have this great story of Jesus is now 12 years of age. And as it was the custom of the Jewish people to go to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, They are heading towards Jerusalem with Jesus. I want you to mentally picture this. This is not kind of just a walk in the park. This is day's travel. And people have loaded their camels with water and food because there is no takeaways along the way. And so they got their tents and camels and donkeys and horses all packed. And all their friends and everybody is heading to Jerusalem. And then they have this massive religious celebration of Passover, and then they're heading back. So it's over a week kind of a festivity that's happening. And now, so they've left Jerusalem and their day's travel, they're heading back. All of a sudden, the most amazing, wonderful, outstanding parents of Jesus called Joseph and Mary just realized after 24 hours that Jesus was missing. So when I read that, I felt so good. I felt so encouraged as a parent because I have not lost my kids for 24 hours and did not even realize. And so how many of you feel better about that? Yes, yeah. So then they turn around and they head back, and it says after 3 days, they find their only son, Jesus. If they had a dozen kids, at least it's understandable. They just had one. But they find him, and just like every good mother, I mean, mothers are the same all around the world, isn't it? She lays it on to Jesus to say, "You naughty boy, why have you done this to us? We've been so anxious. Your father and I have been worried. We've been searching everywhere for you." Nothing about not realizing for 24 hours that even he was missing. You know, nothing about that they left without him. It's all your fault. And then Jesus says, "Well, what are you guys talking about? Don't you know I'm about my father's business?" So now Joseph says, "Yes, son, tell your mommy you're about the father's business, you know, not the mother's business over here." I think Joseph had great plans of this boy growing up, and, you know, he had already envisioned to expand his carpentry business to Joseph and Sons International. They're going to make global furnitures and export everywhere. Thank you, God, for giving this son who can make tables by just speaking and say, "Let there be tables," bang. And then he has incredible delivery capacities, even drones cannot keep up with. He says, "Delivery to Crossway," psh, goes. I mean, you know, so he was envisioning, yeah, that's the father's business he's talking about. You see, the scripture says they didn't even realize what Jesus was talking about. You know, here it is. I want you to imagine, you know, heaven trusted the Savior of the world to this couple. I want you to imagine, before heaven chose to give Jesus to this couple, I think there were lots of committees. You know, who are we going to trust on earth? So the angels searching the whole world, and all these committees come up with different names. The nomination process is up. And now everybody who opposed Joseph and Mary says, "We told you they were incapable, incompetent. You should never trust Jesus to them." I mean, imagine the next day newspaper. You know, Savior of the world gone missing, irresponsible parents, social services moving to take the kid away. I mean, you know, it's just unbelievable to think that such a thing can happen. And we can really laugh about Joseph and Mary, but today is really interesting. From the birth to the start of Jesus' ministry, the 30 years, this is the only story that is written in the scriptures about Jesus. Why? It is not to ridicule Joseph and Mary, but to remind us that we can think that we are following Jesus, but we can also lose him. It is there to remind us of the danger of thinking we are following Jesus. It says, the text says, they assumed he was with them. We can think that we are following Jesus, but he is not with us. And as we reflect on it, you know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave us one mission. How many mission? One mission. To take this good news to all the world. And 2,000 years later, we are still waiting. And there is about 2 billion of us Christians. And there's 1.8 billion people still waiting to hear about Jesus. And did you know the two American companies, Coca-Cola and McDonald's, you heard about them? Yeah. They've done a better job about their mission than church with Jesus. From a brand awareness and brand recognition, today more people know about them than Jesus. One of our leaders gone to plant a church in a very remote interior village in Nepal, and he had to go by bus for 4 days, then walk for another 3 days, get to this village, no electricity, no running water, nothing, and that group of people had never ever heard about Jesus. He arrives there to find Coke being sold under a tree, and he found 11 years before he arrived there with Jesus, Coca-Cola had arrived in that village. And the tragedy is, they've done it in less than 100 years, what we have failed in 2,000 years. While 2 billion of us are indulging in religious festivities and call ourselves Christians. Imagine, you know, if 2 billion, 1.8 billion still wait, not even 1-to-1 ratio. I mean, even if, let's say, half, 50%, how long would it take us to get the job done? But why isn't it done? Because we haven't understood our mission, and perhaps we have even lost Jesus altogether, the Jesus of the Bible, who loves the whole world, whose desire is that no one should perish, and the one who is prepared to leave the 99 and go looking for that one that is lost. Let me tell you, if you are truly following Jesus, you will be pursuing that one that is lost, not sticking with the 99. Because that's where Jesus is headed. That's where Jesus of the Bible is all about. But people all around the world are waiting. While we want more religious things, we want more worship, more Bible study, more prayer, more fellowship, and more all these things. We think doing religious things is the mission. We think, I came to church, tick. And I gave 10%, tick, I'm done for the week now. I can do whatever I want for the rest of the week. Do you know what? Friends, coming to church is not the mission for your life. It's not, you know, worship is not the mission of our life. Studying God's word is not the mission of our life. Being fellowshipping is not the mission of our life. Sharing Jesus is the mission of our life. I'm not devaluing those other things. Yes, worship is so good. You have an amazing team here. But I'm just not sure if they will get a gig in heaven, you know. They're going to compete with everybody else and the angels. I mean, but we'll get to worship in heaven. We don't need to be left on earth to worship. Study of God's word. We don't need to be on earth to do that because the word is eternal and we'll get to study in heaven. Imagine when you're in heaven. There is 2 Bible studies taking place. You have the optional choice to go to either of them. One, an amazing Reverend Dr. Dale Stevenson explaining Romans. And in another room, a dude called Paul explaining Romans. You can choose which one you want to go to. Now, I know all the Crossway people will choose Pastor Dale's, right? But he said he's just gone to Paul's one. You know, we will understand all the deep mysteries there. Fellowship, we get to do it so well because the clock in heaven is made in India. Because we have time for everything. We start everything when it starts, finish everything. Not the Australian clock. It's done, you know. And that's why it's so important that you guys need to get to know us because there's so many more of us than you guys. And, you know, in fact, everything in heaven will be decided by Asians if it's democratic. So all you white people needs to really make friends with us Asians. And Chinese guys, you need to become friends with us because God loves us more because he's making more of us than you guys now. Because in just a few years, we will be more. We will overtake you guys. Did you know that every year, God makes another 21 million Indians? Every year. An entire population of Australia because he loves us so much. So you better become friends with us, you know. Otherwise, you'll be having curry for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 1,000 years. Okay, so, but, you know, while we carry on in this life. We think we are following Jesus. There's a perishing and a lost world out there. And we've made all these things that is the maintenance, the mission. Worship is important. Coming to church is wonderful. Study of fellowship, they're all important. But they are maintenance things to equip us, enable us to do mission better. Coming to church is like taking a car for service, a bit of wheel alignment and pump the air and check the oil and a bit of encouragement so that you can drive out and do mission for the next 6 days. Well, imagine you buy a car and every Sunday you take it to the mechanic. What would the mechanic think? Something is not quite right here, right? How many of you buy a car just to take it to the mechanic? You don't do that. But mechanic is important, maintenance is important, but that's not the purpose, that's not the mission of the car. We are left here on this earth to bring heaven to this earth. We are left here on this earth to see people come to Christ. We are left here on this earth to transform and redeem the world. How many of you are happy about the world today? As I look around, I see the Western world. The trajectory of the Western world, morally, spiritually, is not looking great. If we and the church don't wake up, our grandchildren will be doomed, living in a society that is perishing. But we don't need to wait for that to happen if we will truly rediscover Jesus. You know, I believe the church has lost Jesus of the Bible. It's okay. I'm not talking about Crossway, okay? Today, I'm talking about all those guys watching online. We're talking about them, okay? Or all the other churches, okay? So it's not you guys. You guys are amazing, wonderful church. So just cool down. We just think about all those other guys that you know, right? But we've lost Jesus. And we've been wondering. We point the finger at the children of Israel for wondering for 40 years while the church has been wondering for 2,000 years. They also were nobodies. God chooses them and blesses them and told them that this blessing is not for you so that it can be a blessing to the nations of the world. But they did not understand the purpose of the blessing. Church, God comes and redeems us. The nobodies were made into children of God and a holy nation and a royal priesthood and said, in you, all the nations will be well. I want you to take this good news to all the world. And we just kept it for ourselves. You know, I came to Australia not to follow Jesus. I came here to make money, like most of you migrants out here. And I was pursuing and everything went wrong and I lost everything, had absolutely nothing, and I was on the verge of suicide. There I encountered Jesus. He not only saved my spiritual life, he saved my physical life. But then he began to bless me and said, oh, this is great. Jesus is wonderful. And God caught up in that blessings and I set a goal to make as much as money. And by the time I was 30, I wanted to retire in Tasmania, buy a hobby farm and enjoy life. People say, why Tasmania? It's because I don't like people and there's no people in Tasmania. So, so I was heading in that direction. And for one thing, I was so glad being born an Indian was. I said, thank you, God, for making me Indian and brown that I don't need to do this mission job. Because for some reason, you punish the white people with that job. All the missionaries I knew were white. So I said, thank you, God. I am an Indian. I don't need to worry about that. And maybe many of you are thinking that way. Let me tell you, God did not just bring you to Australia to self-indulge in materialism and spiritual rituals. He brought you here on mission. If you're visiting, don't worry, I'm not the pastor here. Please come back next week. The pastors here are so nice. They will give you so much nicer, wonderful messages next week, okay? So don't leave Crossway. Please, all the guys online, please don't switch off and leave. Stay connected. This is a great church. They will take better care of you than me. but I want to tell you the truth. As a consequence of you living your life in this world, what difference have you made for Jesus? What have you done that you will not be able to do in heaven? One day soon we'll be gone. None of us know how many days, how many hours, how many minutes is left with us. But what are we living for? I'm not asking you to all become missionaries. In fact, some of you, please don't do that. But I'm asking you to connect the mission of Jesus as your reason for existence. If you're in business, go and thrive and go and make as much as money as you can and don't feel guilty about it. Use that gift to the fullest extent, but then make Jesus the purpose of that money. If God's gifted you in creativity or sports or politics or whatever areas, whatever your gifts and talents is, go and excel in those areas, but connect the purpose of Jesus with those things. I believe the only reason for any Christian to exist in this world is to fulfill the Great Commission of Jesus. There's no other reason, because all those other things that we do, our religious rituals, we can do when we get to heaven. But sharing Jesus with somebody, all of eternity we can run, but we will never find one. And that's why you guys have been partnering with us, and I'm here to say thank you. You guys, a few years ago, were so generous in giving it your Christmas appeal. You gave, and we were able to build an amazing center that is now training leaders, not just church planters, training leaders. And they are overseeing, each of them overseeing up to 25 church planters. So this is the building that's been built as a guest house that is actually being used to generate money to support. So we don't need ongoing funds. So the maintenance is taken care internally. We just needed a one-time giving, and you guys did that. And as a result now, there's 117 leaders of leaders that's been trained. And collectively, they are overseeing just over 9,000 churches, directly people, leaders that Crossway raised up. You guys raised up, and I want to say thank you. And yeah, thank you for doing that. And these are people like this. This kid that you see with the blue shirt, he was sexually abused by a whole bunch of people, and he was trying to run away, and they will catch him and reuse him. And one day one of our leaders found him and took him home and then brought him to our children's home. And he grew up in our children's home. When he grew up, he said he wanted to be a church planter. He went and became a church planter. And then we could see he had significant leadership gifting. So he came into our leadership center and got trained. And now he's gone over to the field, and now he's overseeing other leaders. And today there is about 90 churches under his leadership. From a sexually abused, hopeless boy to become a leader of leaders. And together, with your giving, that is what has been enabled. And God's doing amazing, extraordinary things. And now we are wanting to build a second leadership development center in another area, because we have so many young leaders with potential. And this Christmas appeal that's coming up, you guys are going to be asked again to give. And don't think, oh, here goes Dale and his Christmas appeal again. No, let me tell you, friends, this is an opportunity that you have to transform lives, communities, and eternal destiny of thousands of people. I encourage you to give generously. We are looking for the second project. We already got the land, and we're going to build a conference center that will generate the funds to support itself. And the budget is about $900,000. But we already have someone who is willing to match dollar for dollar. So half of it's already committed. So every dollar you will give, someone will be matching that. And if you need tax deductible options, you talk to them and they will tell you that option is there. Encourage you to invest while you can, because soon you will be in heaven. From there you cannot give. From there you cannot pray. From there you cannot go. But now you can. And I want you to recapture Jesus in your life. You know, the first love, Revelation talk about, you lost that first love. What I'm finding is the longer that we are Christians, the less that we are in love with Jesus. How do I know? I'm working with 8,400 full-time leaders working with us now. The average time, these are our leaders, the average time they've been Christians is only 5 years. They have a love for Jesus and a passion that puts me to shame. They're willing to leave and go and sacrifice and die for Jesus. They are in love with Jesus in an unbelievable way. It's like in the book of Acts, it says, they could not help themselves but speak about Jesus everywhere they went. When was the last time you could not help yourself but speak about Jesus? It just may be because you lost Jesus in your life. Don't just assume because you made a decision sometime in history that you are still following Jesus. You need to be keep checking. How many of you keep checking for your key, your wallet, your phone? Come on, be honest. Yeah. Occasionally we check to make sure it's there. When was the last time you checked to make sure Jesus was there? Hello? And when you lose your key or wallet or phone, what is the first thing people tell you? When was the last time you used it? When was the last time you had Jesus, you experienced His love, His presence, and that love that compels you, motivates you to go out of the ways and highways and byways? Friends, you are here not for yourself. You're here for your neighbors. You're here for your friends, your colleagues, your lost people. Is there lost people in Melbourne? That's why Crossway exists. And the church is committed to equipping you, training you, so that they can experience the love and grace of Jesus through you. But it will all start with Jesus. He's not lost. Jesus was not lost in the story. He was there. But Joseph and Mary lost Him. And they had to go back. And this morning is an opportunity for you to go back to that place where you used Him last, where you experienced Him last, and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm here. I'm coming back to You for that first love, that fervency, that excitement, that energy. You know, you guys should be calling up the church, harassing them to do, can we do this? Can we do that? Come on. Rather than the church pushing this forward onto you. If we're all in love with Jesus, imagine you should make the Pastor Dale and the leader's life hell by your desire to reach the lost. Yeah, I love you very much. That's why. But it's almost like the other way around. The leaders kind of have to keep pushing you guys. I told you, I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about the guys online, all right? So it's okay. But friends, this morning is an opportunity for us to do a U-turn. Don't be on a spiritual cruise control without Jesus. Rediscover Him. Put Him back where He belongs. In eternity, you'll be so glad you did that. Thank you.
Worship His holy name.
us today. To help support the cost of producing this weekly radio program, send your donation to Crossway Radio Ministry, 2 Vision Drive, Burwood East, Vic 3151. For more information about Crossway, visit us on the web at crossway.org.au.